does it mean when Paul writes and says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? What does it mean? Does it mean that we won't go to hell no matter what we do? You can pray a simple prayer, go out and be an adulterer, alcoholic, murderer, but there's no condemnation, so you don't go to hell. Is that what it means? Or does it mean that you may go to hell, but you won't feel guilty? I mean, that you just never feel guilty if you do those things? Or does it mean that we're freed and we never sin, and therefore we don't feel condemned? Does it have anything to do with feelings? Is it just a legal statement? What does it actually mean? Understand the difference between conviction and condemnation. The purpose of conviction is for God to say, you've sinned, now come to me and be forgiven. You're guilty, come to me so I can wash you and cleanse you. Condemnation is guilty as charged, away from me. Condemnation is damnation. If you're in Jesus, you're not condemned. But I had a bad day. It doesn't matter. You're not hellbound. But I didn't pray enough. It doesn't matter. You're not hellbound because you didn't pray enough today. But I should have witnessed more passion than I did. Fine, but you're not hellbound over it. God didn't say, I damn you. That's condemnation. Away from me forever. Condemned. That's what the word means. Conviction is God saying, I'm not pleased with that. Now turn. Get right. If you can sin without conviction, you are in very serious trouble. But I feel condemned. Exactly. We misunderstand what's happening. God convicts us, and we feel as if he's hating us and rejecting us and doesn't want anything to do with us. To the contrary, he's drawing us. You say, but it doesn't feel like he's drawing. It's probably just your own mind and thinking negative thoughts. It's probably not the conviction of God at all. It's just this conscience just beating you down all the time.
Now, I'm not talking about struggles. We all have struggles. There's a difference. I'm talking about unconfessed sin. I'm talking about known and willful practice. The person sitting here tonight, you know it's wrong. But you have determined in your heart to continue this practice. And you come into the prayer closet and wonder why you can't get through to God. Your iniquities have separated you.
He won't give it to a heart that is unrepentant. He won't give it to our... Now, I'm telling you, if you have a sin in your life, you have a raging battle. The Bible said there's a battle inside. The conscience is at war, and you're at war with a sin. There's no peace. You're afraid of exposure. Folks, those who live in sin live in terror. There's a terror to it. And then there are many people go, like the scripture says in the Old Testament, the man says, I have peace, though I walk in the stubbornness of my own heart. That's a false peace. If you want the peace that passes all understanding, if you really want the true riches of God, you will come to Jesus and say, Lord, I don't want this sin in my life. And I'll tell you, you'll find all the mercy and grace that you ever need. The Lord is there. You pray the Holy Ghost come and through the power of the Holy Ghost give you dominion, that he will mortify everything in the flesh that is unlike Jesus so that you can clear the deck. So that you can come to the house of God with a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. And then you lay hold of the riches of God. There'll be peace like a river. Oh, there's such peace that the Lord has in store for you if you'll just lay your sin down and come to the Holy Ghost for power.
It wasn't a matter of sin that brought a feeling of condemnation and something's wrong and you're not accepted and you're falling short. It wasn't a matter of sin that did it, because I knew how to be forgiven instantly and how to put that behind me and how to pursue God and live a holy life. For me, it hit with a totally different angle. For me, it hit from that angle of you're falling short. You're falling, you're not doing enough. You're not praying enough. You're not reading enough. You're not close enough to God. You're not doing enough.
That if you've not received his love, there can be no communion. There is no intimacy until first you have become secure in the revelation of his love for you.
Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And really, boldly means God says, come with incredible confidence. I'm not looking for those who come with their own righteousness. It's those who come and they know they're clean because they've trusted in Christ. And he says, yes, you've got needs and you are weak and you struggle. But I'm inviting you into my presence. And not only inviting you, I'm asking you to come in with confidence.
The Bible says the flesh lusts against the spirit, the spirit against the flesh. There's a war raging sometime when evil thoughts are injected by the enemy, and the devil does that to make you feel unworthy and cheated, and that you're not worthy to come into that room and have the dancing and the rejoicing in the Lord, trying to rob you. But my Bible says the Holy Ghost in you is stronger. Is greater than all of those arguments of the flesh. I will not let the flesh rob me of my inheritance. It's mine now. Forgiveness. Oh, there are multitudes of Christians today who've been so faithful. They work, they fast, they pray, but they have never entered in to the joy of the Father's unmerited love and forgiveness, the forgiveness of Christ. They don't understand it. They always live in guilt and fear and condemnation. They never enjoy themselves.
I have a right to go in to the presence of God. It's not by works of righteousness that I have done. It's by His mercy that He has saved me. It's not my perfection, it's Christ's perfection. It's not my victory, it's Christ's victory. He sits at the right hand of God. He is at the throne of God, and I am in Him. Paul says in the book of Ephesians, if I have trusted in Christ for my salvation.
When God says, you're clean, if you have to make restitution, if you have to make things right with the person, do it. If you haven't truly repented, in other words, if you're still thinking of the possibility of doing that thing again, then get it dealt with to the point that it's behind you and forsaken. But when it is, and God says you're clean, you're clean. You can raise holy hands to Him. We're washed by the blood of Jesus. It's like if a judge says you think you're going to get the law thrown at you, even though you knew you didn't do this thing. But you've been implicated, and the judge says, that's the verdict, not guilty, you're free to go. Are you any more not guilty a year later, or 5, or 10, or 20, or legally right at that moment, not guilty? If you have truly turned from that sin, remember what it says in the book of Proverbs, whoever covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes it will have mercy. If you've turned from that and abandoned it and said, God, I just want to please you, wash me clean, not so I can go back and do it again, that's not repentance. Not, I'm thinking maybe I'll, no, I've turned from it, I want to please you, I only want to live for you, Lord. When you've done that before Him and asked for washing and cleansing, it's done. And one moment later, you can say, Lord, I lift up holy hands before you.
Just the saints here tonight, you have that power if you are a genuine Christian. If you have truly trusted in Christ, if you truly in your heart want to walk with God, if you're truly, truly believed in Him for your salvation, you have the power to cast down the thoughts of the devil himself. You have that power given to you of God.
Think of it. If the power of the blood of Jesus was enough to bring us in right relationship with God when we were enemies, now that we're His children, now that we're His friends, how much more will we be kept by God? I am both His servant as well as His son. I relate to Him as my father and my master. I relate to Jesus as my older brother and my Lord. It's not either or, it's both and.
We look upon you, you have been received because of the blood of Jesus Christ. God looks upon you and you have become the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. That's an incredible truth, folks. You have to understand that tonight.
Must always remember, God wants us holy because holiness is good. God wants to uncover sin because sin is destructive. He wants to deal with these things so that He can have us in close relationship with Him. So understand God's posture to you. Go through the Word. Go through Psalm 103. Chew on it. Meditate on it. Something else that'll help you. Understand the difference between being bathed and having your feet washed. I don't get you on that one. Understand the difference between being bathed, meaning born again, and having your feet washed, meaning daily cleansing. But Jesus goes to wash the disciples' feet, and Peter says, no, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no place, no part in me. So good old Peter says, well, I'm washing everything, from head to toe, you can wash me. And Jesus said, no, those who've been bathed don't need their whole body washed, just their feet. He said, you've already been bathed, you're cleansed, you're clean through the word I've spoken to you, but not all of you, meaning Judas is not included. What was he saying? You know, in the ancient world and in much of the world today, you don't have running water going into the houses, you don't have bathtubs and showers. So you either go to a public bathhouse where many people, you know, men are bathing in one place and women bathing in another place, or you go to the river, just, you know, some body of water, and you bathe there, you pour the water on yourself, you bathe there, and then you walk back home. Problem is, when you get back home, when you don't have regular roads and so on, you've got all the dirt and all the muck and all the mire and all, so by the time you get home, your feet are dirty. Or if you bathe early in the day and later in that day, you're going over to a friend's house for a meal, your feet are dirty. Jesus is saying, once you've been bathed, you don't need to be washed head to toe, you just need your feet washed. You need to understand the difference between being born again, being saved, being cleansed once for all through the blood of Jesus, and having your feet washed. That's how some people feel. I got to go get saved again. I got to start all over again because I blew it. Other people think they can keep living however they've been living, and once they pray the prayer, they're in. Both are wrong notions. We talked about that at length yesterday. The proof of the new birth is the new life. If you're saved, you're no longer a slave to sin, you're a slave to righteousness. Period. What does that person need to do? That person who has been bathed just needs to have their feet washed. While you walk in this world, your feet will get dirty. It's going to happen. Have you ever been in a room full of smokers? Even though you don't smoke, you come out of there smelling like smoke? Have you ever been in a room full of people using profanity, even though you didn't say a wrong word, you feel unclean by it? Have you ever been around people that are just scantily dressed and all over each other, hugging and kissing and grabbing each other, and you try to get out of that thing quick? Yikes, this is the wrong place to be. And you're not looking all around, but you just feel that junk on you. Just feel like, I feel like I did something wrong. Even if you don't sin, walking in this world, you get your feet dirty. Walking in this polluted world, stuff gets on you. Just like the smell of smoke gets on you. Lord, cleanse me. Jesus, wash me. Not only that, there are things that we do wrong. Even though sin is not our master, even though we can talk about living a sin-free life, meaning living in habitual obedience as opposed to habitual disobedience, the fact is we still sin. The fact is we are not yet perfect. It's one thing to say, oh, I'm saved, but I'm forgiven, so I can sin as much as I want. If you think that way, you may find yourself in hell. You may find yourself lost, cut off from God, with no way back. If you say, I want to serve God with all my heart, live for Him, He's my Lord, He's my Master, but in this world, I'm still not perfect, there is daily cleansing. There is daily washing. We are not sinners today in Jesus according to the Bible. We are believers who sometimes sin. Anyone have 1 minute during the day where you did not love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Well, let's be honest. We sin. We always fall short in some way. But our heart is set on pleasing the Lord, doing His will. He blots out our iniquities. He remembers them no more. As far as the east is from the west, He removes our transgressions. From verse after verse after verse that tell us plainly that God utterly, completely cleanses and washes through the blood of Jesus. I don't come to God and say, all right, give me what I deserve. No, only a fool would do that. But I do know when I come to Him for forgiveness, when I come to Him for mercy, He gives me what I rightly get through Jesus, because Jesus paid for it. Take God at His word. If He says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. If He says you're cleansed, you're cleansed.
It's when you and I hear the Word of God and we say, God, this is true, and let every other voice be a lie. Let God be true, the Scripture says, and let every man be a liar. God, Your Word is true. We make that decision. We say, God, You're not a man. You can't lie. I'm not going to accuse You of lying. If You've said I'm clean, God, I'm clean. I'm absolutely clean because You said I'm clean. Hallelujah.
God is not mad at me that I'm under the blood. That the blood of Jesus Christ, one of the greatest riches of all, is mine, the sprinkling of the blood. I will not let my flesh condemn me. I'll not let the devil condemn me. I'm going to the house of God with a shout and the joy of the Holy Ghost in my soul. looking in the mirror at my long face. I want to dance in the Holy Ghost. I want to feast. You can live with fear and guilt and condemnation all you want. I said no. My Father said everything that is in Jesus is mine. I want it now. I want it right now. I want it.
Say, I do not condemn you. I do not condemn you. This is the voice of God. If you stand up and have the courage to say, God, I've failed in this area of my life. I've had an image of myself, but it's not based on truth. And the Lord immediately looks to you and says, I do not condemn you. That's amazing. That's amazing grace. It's amazing grace. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. It's amazing grace. It's amazing grace. It's incredible grace. How could we ever turn it down? How could we ever turn a deaf ear to it? How could we ever say, God, no, I don't want this? Considering that Almighty God came to this earth, what more could He do? How could He better express His love for a fallen generation? How could He tell us more than He loved us than to go to Calvary and pay the price for our sins? Tell me how. What more could He do? God's faithfulness, God's benevolent love is so far beyond our understanding. I am persuaded today. I'm persuaded with all my heart that not even death or life, no angel, no principality, no power, nothing that exists, nothing that can come, nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is mine in Jesus Christ my Lord. I am persuaded. I have trust in my heart. I can get up every day and say, thank you, God, whether I feel good or whether I don't. It doesn't matter.
It boils down to this in closing. It all boils down to this. Nothing is ever received from God. Nothing can be appropriated. Nothing can come from His storehouse into my body, into my life, without faith. Absolute confidence that what God said He would do, He will accomplish.
Be careful to please the Lord. Be quick to respond to His voice. Be quick to repent. When you understand how good He is and how merciful He is and how patient He is and how kind He is and how loving He is and how long-suffering He is. Lord, I just want to please You. Oh, God, don't. Oh, wrong attitude. I'm changing that right now. Sorry, Lord. Take any recurrence of sinful habits seriously. You got to take it seriously. You got to address it seriously. You have to recognize the seriousness of it. But the fact is, we've got to take every infraction seriously before the Lord. And when we do, and when we fear Him, and we want to please Him, He knows our frame, He knows our weakness, He knows we're not perfect yet, He knows we're human beings in a sinful world. He's quick to forgive. He's slow to anger and great in mercy. It's not written that He's great in anger and slow in mercy. But He's slow to anger and great in mercy. If there's a recurrence of sinful habits, take it seriously. If you need to talk to a leader, if you need to separate yourself to God in prayer and fasting, if you need to just ruthlessly change your schedule and lifestyle, do it, because sin destroys. And you understand, when you come to God with true repentance, He washes, cleanses, and says, let's get on with it. Choose to believe God. Friends, if you're saved, if you want to please the Lord, there is no condemnation. God does not condemn you. God does not say, away from me. God is not sending you to hell. God's desire is to embrace you, to love on you, and to use you, and to bless you, and to make you a world changer. Don't let the devil rip you off. Don't let your upbringing rip you off. Don't let your surroundings rip you off. Don't let your carnal thinking rip you off. Embrace the Word. Renew your mind. Act on what it says. Refuse to be moved by feelings, and you will live a condemnation-free life for the glory of God. Amen?